All throughout the Bible, there's a repeated theme of God's people being like sheep. Sheep, and more specifically, domesticated sheep, not the wild kind that live up in the mountains, but the kind that need a shepherd. The Bible tells us that Abel, the son of Adam, had domestic sheep. His offering that the Lord approved of was from Abel's flock. That means that sheep have been domesticated for over 6,000 years, which makes them probably the longest domesticated of any animal, almost since the beginning of time. Now, the interesting thing about domesticated animals is that the entire goal is to get them to not be wild, so we train them out of some of the natural behaviors that would ordinarily protect them. We train them not to be afraid of us, to be moved around where we want them to be, and to let us use what they produce. In return, we offer them safety and care. Sheep, to a greater or lesser degree, allow themselves to be petted, shaved, milked, ridden by little kids, and even slaughtered, because they've been bred for thousands of years to trust humans. We need them to be that way in order for them to be useful as farm animals, but it makes them useless as wild animals. They're dependent on their shepherds, and we need them to be dependent in order to have them be tame. Dependency is probably a chief characteristic of being domesticated. Now, all of Scripture is God's inspired and truthful word, so you can be sure that it's no accident that we are compared to an animal that depends on its keepers. A sheep separated from its shepherd is in big trouble. Our Old Testament reading in Ezekiel 34 paints a vivid picture of lost sheep scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Imagine the scene for a moment. The day was hot, but now the wind is cold. The clouds have a frightening greenish tint to them as they swirl in unnatural shapes. The birds and woodland creatures have all gone silent and disappeared into hiding. When you look up at the sky, you get the strange, disquieting feeling that you shouldn't be here right now. The sheep are scattering in every direction, panicking in the dim twilight. In historical context, the sheep that Ezekiel is talking about in that prophecy are the ancient people of Israel, and the day of clouds and thick darkness in which they were scattered is probably referring to the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. The people were cut off from God's temple and deported to a foreign land. But this prophecy also has a broader meaning as it points towards Christ as the shepherd of the sheep. Interpreting this scene symbolically, all of us were scattered from the presence of God when Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden because of their sin. Once, our first parents walked in the very presence of God under his constant care and protection. But now, as we look around the world, we see everyone going their own way, trying to find prosperity or happiness or even just survival. And like those ancient people of Israel, it's no one's fault but our own as each new generation stumbles in sin and scatters away from God's promises and commandments. Blindly panicking, running this way and that in the gathering darkness of the storm, we sheep are eager to put our trust in anyone or anything that looks like he might be a shepherd, but most of them are no help at all. In our gospel passage from John chapter 10, Jesus describes the unfaithfulness of the hired hands who desert the sheep and run at the first sign of danger. In fact, right before today's Ezekiel passage, God also condemns these unfaithful so-called shepherds in the Old Testament. Listen to verses 2 through 6 of Ezekiel chapter 34. Thus says the Lord God, "Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." People, even Christian people, have a way of putting their trust in all the wrong shepherds. Of course, there are houses of worship where false or misleading doctrines can be found, but we look for shepherds in some other surprising places too. The popular psychologists and YouTube gurus tell us how to be your best self or live your best life now. We look to financial advisors and career counselors to tell us how to achieve success and comfort. We look to fitness and nutrition experts to tell us how to live longer and healthier. We look to our friends to tell us how we should dress or talk or act in order to fit in. We look to political commentators and Substack authors to tell us whose version of the facts to believe. Some of these have a proper time and place if we don't make them into idols, but all too often that is exactly what happens. We can quickly grow to fear, love, or trust a false shepherd instead of our true shepherd. Turning to our gospel passage in John chapter 10, we see that whoever the false shepherds may be, they all have one thing in common according to verse 12. When the wolf comes, they turn and run, leaving the flock to be scattered and picked off one by one. Now, in every children's story, the wolf is the enemy of the sheep, but I want you to stop and think for a moment about the identity of the wolf in Christ's metaphor. We wouldn't be too far off the mark to identify the wolf as being the devil himself. He does seek to devour the lives of all people. Yet, many of the worst shepherds in this world probably wouldn't know to run from the devil if they saw him coming. They wouldn't recognize Satan if he walked right up to them and shook their hand. And no wonder, says St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. But the hired hands are terrified of Satan's weapon, death. When death rears its head, it becomes obvious that those who we thought were shepherds are actually just sheep themselves. They're no less afraid of the wolf than anyone else. They can't rescue anyone from death. We shouldn't ignore the fact that Jesus uses the phrase hired hand about them. By definition, a hired hand is hired by someone to watch over the sheep. And the only one who would hire additional shepherds is the owner of the sheep. God does place human beings in positions of authority and influence as parents, teachers, pastors, leaders. We're continuing to feel the lack of a called pastor right now, and it looks like we will be for a little while longer. That's why it's called a vacancy, because there's a place of leadership that's empty. But it's important to remember that even the legitimate hired hands cannot help us when the wolf, death, comes for us. Indeed, they cannot even help themselves. However, here in the face of the approaching wolf, Christ stands and says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is different from all other shepherds and hired hands. He places the lives of his sheep, you and me, above his own life and willingly lays down his life for them. This is precisely what he did on the cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. And in verse 17 of John chapter 10, Christ goes on to say, "For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." No sheep that has been devoured by a wolf can take its life back up again. But Christ, the good shepherd who was led like a lamb to the slaughter, is no ordinary sheep. Although in his human body he was swallowed up in death from Good Friday until Easter Sunday, he was nevertheless alive in the spirit in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison. Even in death, Christ was not defeated, but rather went triumphantly into the realm of the devil to proclaim his victory and then rose again. He was and is forever reunited to his resurrected body, the same one in which he died on the cross, now made alive once again and glorious. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ overcame death on our behalf by dying sinlessly himself, perfectly fulfilling the law. In so doing, he has broken the power of death so that when it comes after us to devour us, whether later today or many years from now, we need not have any fear of it. Christ, our good shepherd, has defeated death and the devil, and he promises to raise us up to live eternally with him. Jesus is the only shepherd who does not fear death. Instead, he destroys death. But in the meantime, what about the hired hands and the under-shepherds to whom we legitimately owe obedience and honor under the fourth commandment? Consider this. The greatest and most faithful service that they can render to us is to continually lead us to the Good Shepherd, who is the only one able to truly save both us and them. The faithful servants of the Good Shepherd know this, so they point us to Jesus through their vocations. Whether they teach us about finances or health or politics, or they preach the gospel, or they change dirty diapers, or they preserve stability and peace in society so that these things can be done, they honor the chief shepherd if their work keeps on pointing others to him. Even the very best and most faithful of them is still in need of the gentle care of the good shepherd, so they continue to bring the focus back onto him and not onto themselves. To those hired hands placed in authority over us who pay no attention to the good shepherd and care nothing for the sheep, we still owe honor and obedience as long as it's possible to obey them or learn from them without violating God's commands. The apostles set an example for us in Acts 5:29 when they were ordered not to preach in the name of Jesus. Their response was simply, "We must obey God rather than men." And they willingly accepted the fact that this would lead to punishment from those same authorities. In fact, those words in Acts 5:29 were spoken by St. Peter, who later wrote today's epistle reading on that very subject of suffering unjustly. He even reminds us that although we were once going astray like sheep, we have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. Even if the earthly authorities are corrupt, inept, ungodly, or uncaring, we remain forever in the care of our good shepherd, who has promised not to abandon us. We have this promise from Christ in verse 14 of John chapter 10 today. "I know my own, and my own know me." Whether the hired hands are doing a good job or not, Christ knows each one of his precious sheep. Nothing in our lives escapes his all-knowing and watchful care. We are not just a number or a statistic to our shepherd. He knows us, and we know him because he has revealed himself to us. If you doubt this, read the next verse as Christ continues, "I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." How truly do you suppose that God the Son knows God the Father? And how well does the Father know Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son? In the same way, he says plainly that we know him, our good shepherd. Does that seem difficult to believe? St. Paul does tell us that now we know in part, but at the resurrection we will know fully, even as we have been fully known. Yet Christ insists emphatically throughout this whole chapter of John's Gospel that we do know him, our good shepherd. This word from him is true. No, we don't know everything about Jesus or about how the Trinity works or about how God can be all-knowing and everywhere present or how he made the world. But we do know him as sheep know their shepherd, a simple, profound trust that wants only to be where he is, that feels safe only when we are with him, and most of all, that recognizes his voice. The apostles knew Jesus face to face, but Jesus did not leave the future generations of the church to blindly search for him. Christ speaks to us through the Holy Scriptures when we read them and when we hear them rightly taught. He makes himself known to us through his sacraments. We know that the Holy Spirit enables us to understand Christ's words when we read them and hear them because Christ promised that the Spirit would lead us into all truth. Through continual prayer and study of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit fills us with the truth of Christ so that if any false shepherd calls to us, we will recognize it and run away from that misleading leader or teacher. Verse 5 of John chapter 10 says this about the sheep. "A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Paul says in Galatians 1:8, "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed." So through the Holy Spirit's active voice in the Scriptures, we should desire to soak in so much of the voice of our good shepherd, to have his words become so familiar and constant and comforting in our minds, that any voice that contradicts his voice will sound foreign and wrong and cause us to run back to our true shepherd. Only our good shepherd saves us from the wolf, from the devil and his plagues of death and destruction. Christ's voice alone speaks the comfort and truth of salvation. On the day of the thickest darkness and clouds, even in the valley of the shadow of death, It is his voice that will call out to all of his flock, and the day of darkness will be transformed to a day of glorious light by his return. Because he lives, we too will live. He will gather us from all the places where we have been scattered, and he himself will be our shepherd. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.